This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, the United Nations closed its peacekeeping mission in Guatemala. Peacekeepers had been in that country for nearly 10 years, through the end of a long and devastating civil war and the beginnings of a gathering peace. The legacy of civil war is still apparent throughout much of Central America, and especially in Guatemala. A 36-year conflict there claimed some 200,000 lives. That is more than the death toll in Nicaragua and El Salvador combined. The departing UN mission warned that Guatemalans will find true peace only when they can address the root causes of what set them on the path to war. Poverty, for instance, remains a chief concern. In a hopeful sign, a new president is downsizing Guatemala's once fearsome army. But as NPR's John Burnett reports, the wounds of war are still raw.
At the end of a long day, the vendors of flowers and shoelaces and cheap watches in the marketplace of Rabinal dine at a sidewalk taco stand. They sit on rickety stools, stuffing tortillas in their mouths, as a young Maya woman in a red necklace tends the grill.
Queremos tortillas.
Skeletal yellow dogs mill about, maddened by the smell of the sizzling meat. Children play. The darkness deepens. The cooking lady is asked, what was it like here in Rabinal, a compact Indian town in the central highlands, during the time of the matazones, the big killings?
I was still little. My mother took us away to hide so they wouldn't kill us. They killed lots of people, my cousins, my uncles, who didn't deserve to die.
She doesn't want to give her name. These are still delicate topics, though they happened a generation ago. The taco seller brings a meat cleaver down on a quarter chicken.
It was very sad here when that happened.
In 1996, the four rebel groups fighting to overthrow the Guatemalan government threw in the towel. The Guatemalan army, which had neutralized the insurrection, agreed to peace too. The Oslo Peace Accords, signed by both sides, called for a dramatic reduction in the military. Finally, this year, Guatemala's new president, Oscar Berger, made good on that. He cut troop strength by more than half, slashed the military budget, and closed bases, including the one in Rabinal.
Bueno, mi nombre es Carlos Chen Osorio. Trabaja para una asociación que es de las víctimas del conflicto armado.
Carlos Osorio heads up a local human rights organization that represents survivors of the political violence in Rabinal. He sits on a stone wall next to a crumbling building that used to be the local army base. Inside one room, someone has scrawled in black letters, Aquí estuvieron los demonios. Here were the demons.
Aquí en Rabinal, pues, mataron a 5,000 personas en ese pueblo Maya Achi.
Here in Rabinal, they killed 5,000 people in this Maya Achi town. When the army left last year, the people took the building apart. It was the survivors who destroyed the army base. We all celebrated the day the army left.
A wave of democratization has swept across Latin America in the past two decades. Militaries have returned to their barracks from Argentina to Paraguay to Central America. Now it's Guatemala's turn. Without a rebel uprising to fight, the army has lost its primary mission. Now it's looking for new roles, such as catching cocaine traffickers and assisting in natural disasters. An honor guard of military policemen parades smartly around a training base in the capital, Guatemala City. Appearances aside, the armed forces is outdated and ill-equipped. It wants desperately to modernize, but U.S. military aid to Guatemala has been effectively frozen since 1977 because of human rights abuses. The United Nations Truth Commission blamed Guatemalan security forces for 93% of the violence during the war against the insurgents. For the current congressional ban on military aid to be lifted, Washington wonders if the new Guatemalan military will submit its officers to justice, says Dan Fisk, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Central America.
Since the peace accords in Guatemala in 1996, it is fair to say the United States has at times been frustrated by the lack of action, judicial action, prosecutorial action, against those in the military who have been accused of abuses, have been accused of links with organized crime, and that we know in instances in which witnesses or prosecutors have been intimidated, we know that judges have been, efforts have been made to manipulate them, too many military officials have been able to sidestep what is just plain and simple justice.
The Guatemalan government maintains it is investigating, for the first time ever, an army accounting scandal. Vice President Eduardo Stein says army atrocities that happened 20 years ago are much harder to prove.
Sometimes when we received visits from the people of the Truth Commission demanding written records, you know, we were puzzled because no one in their right mind would leave a trace in written records of anything that would imply crimes against humanity.
A case in point, the pacification of Rabinal. In the late 70s and early 80s, this municipality became a strategic target because of the presence of campesino activists and the guerrilla army of the poor. Human rights investigators estimate that 5,000 civilians were killed here in 20 massacres between 1981 and 1983. In recent years, a reckoning has begun. There have been 32 exhumations of clandestine graves and 9 monuments erected to the dead. One of the markers lists the 10 relatives of Pedrina Alvarada, a 47-year-old widow whose hair is braided with a scarf in the fashion of Maya Achi women.
En 82, cuando lo masacraron a mi papá, mi mamá, mi tres hermanas y mi tres hermanos.
In 1982, they killed my mother, my father, my 3 sisters, my 3 brothers, my husband, and my 6-year-old daughter. They killed all my family except me, and I was pregnant. They put them in a house of adobe and threw grenades into it. I was here in Rabinal buying food, and that's how I survived.
The selective killing of unarmed men, women, children, and old people was a state policy of mass terror. It was intended to deprive the rebel army of its collaborators and preemptively frighten others from joining or supporting the guerrillas.
I feel such a sadness after so many massacres. I don't believe the children were guerrillas. How can they be if they are nursing? But they said they had to kill the children because they would grow up and become guerrillas. They didn't leave a single one.
As a condition of the peace accords, the Guatemalan government has set aside $4 million for survivors of the armed conflict. Through infighting, incompetence, and corruption, none of it has reached the widows in Rabinal. Alvarada is asked if 22 years later, she can forgive the gunmen who wiped out her family.
My husband wasn't an animal to be slaughtered. My mother wasn't an animal. My daughter wasn't an animal. Why should I pardon them with this poverty I now live in? I won't pardon them.
No los voy a perdonar.
Guatemalans are also harsh in their judgment of the guerrillas, who purportedly fought for the people, preaching land reform and social justice, but ultimately abandoned them when the army and the civilian militias savagely retaliated.
Yo creo que la conducción militar de la guerrilla en Guatemala fue pésima.
The military conduct of the Guatemalan guerrillas was terrible, says Cesar Montes, a well-known former rebel commander who says he was outside the country during the worst of the war. They facilitated the genocide, he continues. It's difficult to reconcile and accept such a grave error. Like the widows, ex-patrollers are also asking for money. 600,000 of them across the country have demanded payment for their forced service during the war. Again, Carlos Chen Osorio, the human rights activist in Rabinal.
Hay una tensión más que todo, porque ahora se están organizando nuevamente las expatrullas de autodefensa civil.
There's new tension because the civil patrols are reorganizing. They're calling the human rights groups like us liars and guerrillas and saying we shouldn't get anything, that it's them who deserve compensation.
Total, que hay una tensión muy fuerte entre los sobrevivientes.
The former head of the civil patrols in Rabinal is a beefy 46-year-old tailor and former army sergeant named Juan Reyes. In a black sleeveless shirt with a pistol strapped to his waist, he feeds fabric into an old Singer sewing machine in his small shop. Reyes says he represents 7,000 ex-patrollers in the municipality who are seeking compensation. It is pointed out that three former patrollers have been jailed for their roles in a massacre. I've heard of them because they are from Rabinal, and their names have been in the newspapers, but I don't know them, Reyes says, his eyes flat and unblinking. I don't know anything about these things. Not far from the tailor's shop is a well-tended, fenced garden with corn plants, mango trees, hibiscus, and bougainvillea.
Yo me llamo Fernando Suazo.
This is the home of Fernando Suazo, a former Catholic priest who married and started a family. After 20 years living in Rabinal, Suazo has thought a great deal about a singular dark fact. The assailants and the victims were sometimes neighbors.
El terror puede sacar la bestia que todos tenemos dentro.
Terror can bring out the beast that we all have within us. We are all capable of destruction and perversity between one another. We all have this. Everyone can all be angels, and we can all be demons. We have seen this not only in Guatemala, but in other places, such as the Third Reich in Germany. The man who loved his wife and child 1 minute could become a monstrous torturer 30 minutes later. All that is necessary is that conditions of terror exist to the point which is no longer tolerable, which is the environment the state of Guatemala created. In those conditions, men can be converted into a savage beast.
The war is over, the state of terror is gone, and most people in Guatemala have moved on with their lives. In places like Rabinal, they still await the promise of peace. John Burnett, NPR News.
This report is part of the series After the Wars, produced by Gracias Vida Productions. An extended version of this story will air on the next edition of NPR's Latino USA.